The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host. Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, October 5th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I hope you're having a great day out there, and if you get a little hungry, I hope you manage to find some good pizza to be delivered to your house. But that pizza would not come from Papa Narcs. That's right, we are boycotting Papa Narcs Pizza, a.k.a. Papa John's. If you haven't heard the story, a Papa John's employee called the police on a medical marijuana patient in Colorado. And that's not the problem. He could have mistaken it. You know, I'm not upset at the employee. I'm upset at the company, which is standing by the employee and not offering any sort of education to their employees about the fact that Colorado has legal medical marijuana users. So join on the boycott. Get on Twitter. The hashtag is Boycott Papa John's. If you'd like a copy of the Papa Narcs logo that I've got there, just check our blog at stash.normal.org and you can get yourself your own copy of Papa Narcs to pass on. In the meantime, let's go to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, where sitting there is the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. No pizza here.
No pizza there. At least not Papa John's.
That's right. At least not Papa John's.
Plenty of other fine pizza establishments out there whose drivers recognize people's rights to privacy.
Well, not out here in Astoria. If you have a good pizza restaurant, please come out and open a decent pizza restaurant here in Astoria. We're dying for one.
Okay. Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right at the top of the hour here after the first break. So what's in the news today?
Well, we're going to go to the Michigan Court of Appeals. You know, the state of Michigan, they are chipping away at their marijuana program piece by piece. Also, we're going to go to Philadelphia, where some grow equipment gets donated for another use. And we're going to talk about that justice memo from the ATF. But the big story coming up right at the top of the hemp headlines will be the IRS and their battle with dispensaries.
All right, we'll get right to that. Also coming up on today's show, it's Irie Wednesday for our Daily Toker Tunes. Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, will be bringing us some great music from Slightly Stupid. It's 2 a.m., according to them. And then at half past the hour, we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Science segment, where you can send in your live chat questions or call in at 971-533-7111 and ask your cannabis science questions of one of the leading researchers on marijuana in the United States of America. And then at 45 past in the Radical Rant segment, I've got a video highlight for you. I was interviewed a couple of weeks ago by Rethink Reviews, which is a show that's on the Young Turks Network. I finally got a hold of that video. We'll show that to you. We're talking a little bit about Reefer Madness, both the movie and the practice that's being employed by so many of our journalists and media right here in America when they discuss marijuana and marijuana legalization. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after these short messages with our hemp headlines and Cannabis Carrie. Stick around.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There is nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
This isn't a new weapon of the federal government, but it can be an effective one. We reported earlier this year about the tax troubles of one of the largest and most respected dispensaries in the business, Harborside Health Center, run by larger-than-life activist and reality TV star Steve DeAngelo. The IRS has been auditing them for their 2008 and 2009 federal tax returns for almost a year now. Harborside operates for an estimated 94,000 medical marijuana users and employs 84 full-time employees. The IRS code that was passed during the Reagan administration to keep drug dealers from making business deductions looks like it will end up costing Harborside millions of dollars in taxes on salaries, overhead rent, computers, office equipment, the expenses of buying and selling medical cannabis, and payroll and security. DeAngelo says they are objecting to the law that was designed with cocaine kingpins that is now being applied to licensed medical cannabis businesses that are following state law. Today, the IRS has ruled that dispensaries cannot deduct the standard business expenses that other American businesses take for granted. Harborside Health Center will now be on the hook for more than $2.5 million in taxes. They paid around $500,000 in federal taxes during those years. That's on the high average for a business tax bill for a company that size. DeAngelo issued a statement after the ruling and said that he sees only two outcomes. Either the IRS assessment has to be adjusted or he will be forced to go out of business. DeAngelo now has 90 days to respond to the ruling. The outdated tax code in the age of legal medical marijuana is an obscure portion, Section 280E, that was passed in 1982 during Reagan's war on drugs to ban tax deductions related to, quote, trafficking in controlled substances. The news is sending ripples throughout the cannabis community and has the potential to adversely affect thousands of cannabis-related businesses. Those small dispensaries in California that have tried to comply with all city, state, and federal laws have been asking for input from all of the agencies involved, and now they feel they will be punished for operating a legitimate business. Harborside has been in business for 5 years as of Monday. They bring in about $22 million annually. The center is set up as a not-for-profit business. It's paid about $1.1 million taxes just to the city of Oakland, another $2 million in taxes to the state of California, and then of course that additional $500,000 that was paid to the federal government. DeAngelo says he is not complaining about the taxes he has paid and says he is doing his part, but is taken back by being treated like criminals and being pursued in the same fashion that took down gangsters like Al Capone during alcohol prohibition. He reminds us that drug kingpins, cartels, and criminals don't file taxes. And he does. On that note, no business, including one as vigorous and successful as a Harborside Health Center, can survive as a business being taxed on its gross income. It seems like the latest ploy from the feds is to have the IRS tax dispensaries out of existence.
Well, I don't believe that the dispensaries are going anywhere, and I think Stevie D'Angelo's cries of having to go out of business might be a little premature, because they'll do what every business does when any of the tax burdens go up. They'll just raise the price for the customers. They'll just jack those prices back up to the kind of prices that we see out on the East Coast, out in Chicago, all these, you know, $400, $500 an ounce prices. That's what's going to happen there. And, you know, you might be shocked to hear me say this, but I'm not surprised by this ruling. In fact, it's pretty much what I expected. We're talking about the federal IRS. And as far as the Internal Revenue Service is concerned, and at the federal level, everyone is concerned, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. There are people who don't do marijuana, and then there are criminals that must be punished for it. That's it. And so what I'm hoping happens from this ruling is some of the I gots mine contingency in the medical marijuana states in Colorado and California, and to some extent the other states that have some limited cannabis, will finally realize that this little game of apportioning off a tiny segment of the marijuana community and working business with them and claiming that to be legitimate just because the customers are sick, while people like me, healthy people, continue to be locked up and continue to be put in prison and have our lives ruined for any sort of cannabis use or cannabis commerce. I hope it finally convinces the I Gots Mine crowd that we're all in this together. There is no medical marijuana. There is no industrial hemp. There is no religious sacrament. It's one plant. It's cannabis. And regardless of how you're using it, how you intend to use it, how you intend to sell it, who you intend to sell it to, none of us belong in a cage. All of us deserve tax deductions. All of us deserve to be left alone by the man. So please, Steve D'Angelo and others out there in the industry that are upset about the IRS ruling, work to make the IRS irrelevant in this by making this thing federally legal for everyone.
The Michigan Court of Appeals has issued a decision that further limits the state's medical marijuana law. This week, the justices ruled that a caregiver's decision to supervise the growth of 88 medical marijuana plants in a single facility on behalf of other registered caregivers and patients other than his own violates the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The case began in Kent County, Michigan, by the county prosecutor filing drug charges against caregiver Ryan Blasma. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schutte praised the decision that will stand as precedent for the lower courts. A three-panel of the Michigan Court of Appeals held that Mr. Blasma can be charged with manufacturing marijuana because he possessed the 88 plants in one growing facility in violation of the 12-plant-per-patient limit enshrined in the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The court made the ruling that caregivers may not possess plants grown for registered qualifying patients who are not officially connected to the caregiver through the state's registration process or for other registered caregivers, and that caregivers who do not comply with the 12 plant per patient limit are not entitled to assert an affirmative defense in court. Also, the state may file drug possession and manufacturing charges against registered patients and caregivers who do not adhere to the 12 plant per patient limit. That decision that the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act does not permit collective growing or sharing of plants between caregivers and unconnected patients or other caregivers was already laid out in a June 2011 ruling. Schutte concluded that the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act requires each patient's plants to be grown and maintained in a separate, enclosed, locked facility that is only accessible to the registered patient or the patient's registered primary caregiver.
And only if they wear a special symbol that makes sure everybody knows that they are the medical marijuana patient, maybe a big scarlet letter or something, and only during certain times of day when nobody can see them under the cover of darkness, and only if they use their medical marijuana while chained to a radiator in the basement, and only if no children are with 1,000 feet of the person that might be using this terribly addictive, deadly, dangerous medical marijuana. I mean, yeah, all right. Look, the guy probably violated the provisions of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act in it saying it has to be an enclosed lock facility, 12 plants only, direct caregiver. But what kind of crazy hoop is that that we're making people have to jump through here? This guy was trying to help multiple patients, trying to, you know, coordinate resources to be able to grow this all in one place rather than six or seven different patients having to have six or seven different grows in six or seven different enclosed locked facilities. It's ridiculous the hurdles we make people go through to get medical marijuana that we don't even begin to make them go through to get OxyContin.
The Montana Attorney General Steve Bullock took a shot at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives for issuing that memo to gun merchants prohibiting them from selling firearms to those who admit to having a prescription for medical marijuana. Bullock, who happens to be a candidate for Montana governor, told the Justice Department Monday that the September 21st directive violates the Second and Fifth Amendments and the right of Montanans to hunt, which is enshrined in the state's constitution. He said that the federal policies do not always reflect the kind of careful approach and appropriate accommodation that should be accorded to the states. He also called on Attorney General Eric Holder to abstain from prosecuting medical marijuana users who buy guns. Bullock disputed that a blanket ban that the Controlled Substance Act supposedly places on cannabis, saying that the ATF overlooked the controlling federal regulation that recognizes that a person who uses a controlled substance in a manner prescribed by a physician is not disqualified from possessing or buying ammunition or guns. Now, the state attorney general is joining a chorus of Montana public officials who have attacked the Obama administration for issuing the ruling, including Democrat U.S. Senators John Tester, Max Baucus, and U.S. Representative Denny Redberg. Montana is one of 16 states that does permit doctors to recommend marijuana as a pain reliever. Now, the ATF, on Monday, former ATF Acting Director Mike Sullivan was on Fox News defending that bureau's memo, saying the ATF is following the Gun Control Act, which indicates that anybody who is unlawfully using a controlled substance is prohibited from purchasing a firearm, saying to the viewers, the last time he looked, marijuana is still listed as a controlled substance by two principal federal agencies, the FDA and the DEA, and it's still a federal crime to cultivate, possess, or distribute marijuana.
Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know it's all federally illegal. What we're getting at here and what you're dodging here in the ATF memo is the Second Amendment rights of a certain group of citizens being taken away while those citizens are following their state's laws. Furthermore, the fact that we even have the federal government involved in whether or not people should be allowed to grow, harvest, and use plants is a violation of the 9th and 10th Amendments right there. It's a sad situation when we have to have attorney generals from the states explaining the Constitution to our federal officials.
Oops, and one last one that we can get in here today. And I guess all the growing equipment that doesn't get smashed and destroyed in those raids by the feds, sometimes some of it does go to good use, although that has been the typical experience in our reports. But in Philadelphia this week, equipment that was seized from a growing marijuana growing operation is being donated to the Cheney University and the Philadelphia Community Development Corporation's Urban Food Lab. A raid at a former Chester, Philadelphia drugstore yielded industrial generators, lots of grow lights, and hydroponic plant containers and supplies. The equipment that grew hundreds of pounds of marijuana will now be used to grow lettuce, peppers, and broccoli. The on-campus business already uses hydroponic techniques to grow herbs like basil and sell it to local supermarkets. They will now expand their hydroponic operation. Now, the Cheney professor that oversees the program is grateful for the donation and says that the value of the donated equipment equals to tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, once again, all of our grow equipment being stolen by the authorities in the name of cannabis being a drug, and we need to, you know, seize the proceeds of the druggies and put it to some sort of better use. Meanwhile, somebody who might have been growing marijuana on their own at home is now going to have to turn to a black market dealer, going to have to turn to some kid in a parking lot or some guy in a park and risk arrest and risk the attacks that could happen. Risk the robberies that could happen when you're engaged in a criminal market like that. It's a shame that we continue to do this, that we continue to seize people's properties. I was driving down the road the other day and saw a very nice Mustang, one of the newer model Ford Mustangs, remodeled as a cop car, had all the blue and red lights in there. And I'm sure that was something that probably got seized from some drug case at some point in time and was remodeled to become some sort of, anti-drug car or police patrol vehicle. It's just really a shame. All right, quickly, in other news, I did want to mention that if you are looking for a job, there are jobs to be had in the cannabis industry. At the West Coast Cannabis Expo this weekend, there is going to be a job fair for jobs in the cannabis industry. So bring your resumes and get the chance to meet people. It's going to be down there in the Cow Palace in Daly City, just south of San Francisco. We spoke to Cheryl Schumann on the A Different View program that aired live on Monday night, and she explained a little bit more about that. We're looking for bud tenders. We're looking for people with business experience, people with customer service experience, and there may be some jobs for growers there as well. So please check it out at the jobs fair taking place at the Daly City Cow Palace, south of San Francisco, as part of the West Coast Cannabis Expo. There are plenty of jobs, and let's just show people, the Republicans and the Democrats, that if you really want a job program in this country, you'd legalize marijuana and industrial hemp. All right, we got to take a break here, and I didn't mention earlier, but we have our own cannabis cure in the studio with us. How's it going, cure?
Whoops.
You silenced me once again.
So sorry.
Not too bad, yeah.
It's 20 after the hour.
Some interesting news again today.
And we have to take a short break.
Oh, we have to take a break.
You know what I mean?
I've got a joint here.
Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Some committee of whatever it is.
I guess we better do it. We're back with the Toker Tunes and NorCal Perps in just a second.
That funny reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Birch Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service announcement.
You're listening to our Daily Toker Tunes on Normal Show Live. Did somebody say science?
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we go all the way down to the Bay Area and visit with our good friend Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps. What's happening, Kyle?
Not too much. How you doing today, Russ?
I'm doing great. We've got Cannabis Cure here in the studio as well with us.
Dude, this morning on the tram, I was thinking, oh, God, I've got to hit Kyle up about my guitar. I saw your tweet the other day and your message, and I forgot to hit you back.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it at the moment, buddy.
Well, Clark's coming to California in like 2 weeks. He's going to stay with Gramp, so do you reckon we should arrange some kind of meet up for you two, because I'm going home, and then he can send it back to me. I'll give him the funds.
Yeah, no, I was already planning on meeting up with him.
Yeah,
so
wicked, good.
It's kind of funny, the Cannabis Cure United States tour, I believe there's a little bit of you in four or five states by now.
Probably some
detritus left behind in each one, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I managed to, I don't know, Adam hasn't hit me up. Maybe I left something there in Washington.
I'm sure you have.
Some residual clothings. So,
it'll be like, we'll have to bring CSI in to retrace your steps where you've been. Okay. All right, let's get to the music. It's Irie Wednesday, and NorCal Perps is our Irie Wednesday music editor, bringing us an old favorite here at the Stash. Tell us all about it.
Well, I decided to reach back and bring one of our all-time favorites from the show, Slightly Stupid, originally signed by Bradley Knoll to Skunk Records while they were still in high school. They have released 8 albums, 2 live and 6 studio albums. They've got a nice little fusion of acoustic rock, blues, reggae, and hip-hop. And so here decided today that we're going to play Slightly Stupid's 2 a.m.
All right, let's get right to it. This is Slightly Stupid. They were on the Seed the Summer Tour, big supporters of Normal and legalization. This is 2 a.m., my second favorite time of the day.
I'm a little bit stupid sometimes. A little bit, not slightly, a little bit.
Is not
Stupid with 2 a.m. on your daily Toker Tunes for Ivory Wednesday. Coming up next, Dr. Mitch Earlywine answers your live questions. Get him in on the chat or call us at 971-533-7111.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of his collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, we welcome Dr. Mitch Earlywine back into our virtual studio. How you doing, sir?
Having a great day.
We're glad to have you back, and we're going to start off with talk about the most recent war of words, as it were, between Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee and the drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske. And in particular, I wanted to get your opinion on something that Paul Armentano noted on our Normal front page. And this was in drug czar Kerlikowske's response to Representative Cohen, who was asking that marijuana be rescheduled lower down to like Schedule 5. The drug czar said, quote, "We ardently support research into determining what components of the marijuana plant can be used as medicine. In fact, the federal government is the largest source of funding for research into the potential therapeutic benefits of marijuana, and every valid request for the use of marijuana for research has been approved by the DEA," end quote. And I thought you might have some insight on that.
Well, the slippery word there is valid. And unfortunately, there are a couple of weasel words in the statement, so you can see how they can deem any study non-valid simply by suggesting that it's not something that they think is a priority for medical marijuana. And the beginning part is also a bit slippery because he's saying the components of marijuana, and so, you know, we read these weird stories about HU210 and other CB1 agonists that aren't real plants or real things in nature, but things that have been synthesized in the lab. And then if he's going to include that work, well, then of course, sure, the federal government is the biggest funder of this kind of research. But when it comes down to actually using the plan in everybody's day-to-day health, I'm afraid they are lagging, sadly, behind.
It's like every study that we thought was valid turned out to be valid. Well, yeah, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy there, isn't it? All right.
The circularity never ends.
That's the drug czar's bread and butter, man. We also like to take the top of the show here to look over the cannabis science, any new studies or information that we can tell our listeners about this week.
A curious new study using one of the drugs that blocks the CB1 receptor showed that placebos don't work if you block the CB1 receptor, which says that basically cannabinoids have something to do with how we convince ourselves to not feel bad in the face of pain. And I'm really eager to see this kind of work get followed up. And I bet this one was funded, but it's not using cannabis itself. It's, in fact, using the anti-cannabis drug, that crazy Acomplia that we've already seen taken off the market because it makes people so suicidally depressed.
Yeah, and it seems to me, you know, when you talked about it wasn't rimonabant, or I can never pronounce that one, the same kind of...
Exactly, yeah.
Same idea. And it would seem to me that, you know, if you're going to be messing around with a system as ever-present in the human body as the cannabinoid system, you wouldn't want to be, you know, just... you know, doing this haphazardly or just trying to turn this system off when it has to do so much with our homeostasis and our, you know, our appetite and the regulation of our body's rhythms. I mean, what could they possibly hope to gain from that?
As it turns out, all this does is support the argument that cannabinoids are involved in the way we fight pain naturally. And so it is kind of an ass-backwards argument. And these were folks who had it acutely administered. Usually the suicidal ideation and depression doesn't kick in until after a couple of weeks of administration. But when you breed rats to not have these CB1 receptors, they're aggressive and moody and hostile. And I mean, it tells you this is here for a reason. This is around so that we can be happy, functioning folks. Mm.
All right. We're taking calls here at 971-533-7111 or via our Ustream chat, where we've got our first question from the audience. RX Nomad wants to know, what effects does cannabis have on a baby in the womb and after birth? Are there any dangers?
As it turns out, this is an incredibly controversial issue. It does seem like... the cannabinoids could pass the blood-brain barrier and the placental barrier. It makes sense pharmacologically. Mary Lee Mothras had data from folks down in basically in the Caribbean showing that their kids don't seem to be having any problems when they're born of women who use a cannabis tea or who use cannabis down there. Here in the States, Nancy Day and that crew have discovered that when these kids are 10 years old, if they were exposed to cannabis early in gestation, they're more likely to get ADHD diagnoses, but she never mentioned ADHD, didn't measure it in their mothers. So it's unclear if maybe the mothers were actually suffering from ADHD, turning to cannabis for relief, and that they just inherited it genetically, which we know happens all the time.
Mm, okay. This next question from YCheck13, you know, I've heard it with respect to another substance, but I'll just ask it as he asked it. Does orange juice get you more high? And I suppose he means with cannabis. I've always heard that with LSD, but does orange juice have a synergistic effect whatsoever with the high of cannabis?
George Rebeck did some work with vitamin C and hallucinogens back in the late 80s and early 90s. And basically the take-home message is if you're already healthy, if you have enough vitamin C, if your body's working better, yeah, you do seem to respond to some drugs of abuse a little more. But I think the key is more, you know, making sure you have a nice, healthy diet, not, hey, let's whip up our buds and some orange juice.
Yeah. Hey, Cannabis Cure is in the studio with us. It's probably his last, one of his last times here before heading back to Britain. And I think he had a question for you as well.
Hi, Dr. Mitch.
I have
a friend back home who has bipolar, and he's trying to use cannabis as his medicine, and he's having a hard time with his family. And using cannabis as his medicine, with all the reefer madness, they keep trying to convince him that it will make him go mad, especially because he has bipolar. I just wondered if there was any science or any studies you could point me in the right direction that might be able to aid him or anyone else who's in a similar situation.
Lester Grinspoon's book, Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine, has some of the first case studies of folks controlling bipolar with cannabis. It doesn't seem to be, you know, the be-all and end-all or the guaranteed solution, generally what happens in bipolar is people have their sleep go awry a little bit first, and then once they're sleep deprived, a manic episode can really kick in heavy. I find that folks who are using indica strains or sedating strains late in the evening to help them go to sleep, they do fine. It's when somebody with bipolar tries to hit a sativa late at night, ends up getting their sleep out of whack, and then suddenly is up all night that things really can go in the wrong direction, or to try to wake and bake with it really doesn't seem to help at all.
Okay, thank you very much. Cheers.
Sure thing.
All right, we're getting a piece of news here from the Morning Sun serving Central Michigan, and it's just a new headline coming up. It says, "Doctors, no proof marijuana lessens pain," and I haven't got a whole lot of data on this right now, but the question that comes with it is asking, do you think the chronic pain use will take down medical marijuana? Not whether it's valid for chronic pain, but the people's perception that chronic pain is the trick that people use to get medical marijuana, will that take it down?
I'm afraid that people with chronic pain are actually among the most misunderstood people in the world. So it's easy for us to think, oh, they're just complaining, or oh, they don't understand. But in fact, we have the same problem with the prescription of opiates, so that physicians are afraid to give people the appropriate amount of opiates because they're concerned that they're going to have the FDA crawling down their throats. And the key is, this is stuff that certainly responds to behavioral things, good exercise, eating right, meditation, relaxation, but they really do need medicine. Cannabis is documented to decrease pain, particularly at appropriate dosage, not too much and not too little, and the opiates do this as well. And I think what needs to happen really is everybody has to go through a day one day hitting themselves in the head all day long to realize what it's like to live with some of the agony these people are experiencing.
Yeah, no kidding. It's the lack of compassion some people have for people in pain is just staggering. I know I've done the research on it, and I think the American, I can't remember which group said it, but it was like 26% of Americans suffer some sort of chronic pain.
Do they want everyone to go, oh, I'm in agony and pain all the time, I can't work? Do they want people to be like that? Do they want to have that reaction for us to convince you that we're in pain all the time? Or do you want us to get on with it and be men and just people?
Yeah, it is very frustrating. All right, we've got to wind things up, but I want to remind folks, if you didn't get a chance to get your question in for Dr. Mitch, you can always send it by email to 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com, or join us next Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday with Dr. Mitch. We have a question here. Let's see. Does vaporized marijuana have similar carcinogens to lighting up a bowl in glass? And if so, what would you estimate the ratio to be? In other words, how much safer is vaporizing?
As it turns out, Dale from California Normal published some data to suggest there really aren't any carcinogens or even respiratory irritants when you don't turn the vaporizer up too high. So you really are just getting cannabinoids vaporized. It's as safe as it could possibly be. Unfortunately, even with the glass bowl that people hold the match under, it's a much more delicate process. People tend to heat it up too much. They think if they can't see any smoke, they're not getting anything, and it just can't possibly be as safe as the vaporizer turned the way it should be, so you don't see anything coming up the tube, but you see a blue mist when you exhale.
That's right. You got to believe it. The vaporizer is the way to go if you're concerned about your health, that's for sure. I love this question. Does the medicated salve actually work? I just don't see how. But I'm hearing people say they feel the effects after rubbing salve on their skin. I don't believe them. I think it may be the same people who say that pipe resin gets them high or as high as buds. So is there like a physical scientific reason why salve would actually work, and is it working?
So, I mean, as you guys know, I was a doubter in the beginning too, and the key is that the THC has to be suspended in something that'll go transdermally, something that'll go across the skin in order to get it absorbed. And a lot of the fats and oils and butters and things like that you see it in at your local medical dispensary really do the trick on this. And, you know, not to plug your wife's plate, but when I got my massage there, I was convinced.
All right. Excellent. AltMedChoices.com, folks, if you want to check it out.
Yeah, I'd say it works. Since the seasons have turned and the temperature's dropped, my sort of arthritis in my knees has kicked in, and I've been using the salve on my knees, and it's been giving me great relief.
Anti-inflammatory and pain relief, is that, you know, pretty much what we know of its action there?
Exactly.
All right. All right. One last question here to wind things up. We've got a question that says, if you use cannabis around once a week, how long does it take to leave your system?
Alas, everybody's metabolism is a little bit different, and I recommend, you know, going online and buying your own little test strips to make sure. But if you really do only get high one time per week, odds are high within 3 weeks of abstinence, you would test clean. But because we're all different weights and different metabolisms, there's no guaranteed formula.
I think they won't test me clean until 3 days after I'm dead.
3 decades.
3 decades, yeah. Well, Dr. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us again on Cannabis Science, and have yourself a great day.
All right, you too. Bye now.
All right, when we come back, we have got a little time for Radical Rant. Actually, video from the Young Turks Network on Rethink Reviews with yours truly. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
Reefer Madness.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Want more than just your Normal Show Live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
I'm Rory from Revolution, chilling at the Spring Fest, San Bernardino, California. Just chilling at the Normal Live. Want to say what's up and keep it green.
US Vienna, Malgo, Brokdong Barria. Herb is medicine to Brokdong Barria. Boost the economy and Brokdong Barria. It's helping other states. Brokdong Barria. Cannabis for legalized to Brokdong Barria. Join and speak your voice. Brokdong Barria. We're gonna change the law. Brokdong Barria. We got to educate. Brokdong Barria. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal, working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
All right, we're going to video on this one. Me on the Young Turks Network, Rethink Reviews.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Rethink Reviews on the TYT Network, where we're talking about the original 1936 anti-pot propaganda film, Reefer Madness. We have a terrific guest. His name is Russ Belville. He's the host of the Normal Show Live, producer of the Normal Network, and Normal's National Outreach Coordinator. If you don't know what Normal is, it's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. They're out there fighting for all you who enjoy bud. So anyway, Russ, how are you doing out there?
Doing fantastic right here in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for having me on the show.
So anyway, when I say the words reefer madness, what are the first things that come to mind?
Well, of course, the film Reefer Madness depicts cannabis users as being out of control, homicidal, maniacal. But now Reefer Madness is kind of shorthand for the yellow journalism that's engaged by most of the members of the traditional media in trying to repeat some of the lies like the gateway theory or amotivational syndrome that have long since been debunked.
How do you respond to that idea of pot as the scariest of the gateway drugs?
Well, there's a natural progression in people's use of substances, and Representative Steve Cohen from Tennessee even pointed this out when talking to FBI Director Mueller a year ago or so, when he said the gateway theory doesn't work. Most people started on milk and then moved to Coke and, you know, Coca-Cola, and then maybe bourbon, and then maybe marijuana. It's as illogical as saying that if you buy a tricycle as a kid, you're likely to grow up to be a Hell's Angel. Sure, most of the Hell's Angels probably rode tricycles and bicycles as kids, but there's no correlation there. There's no causation between, you know, trying marijuana and trying other hard drugs. In fact, for every one cocaine user, there's 108 regular marijuana users out there. So it's not a very good gateway.
And over the past few years, how has marijuana fared under an Obama administration?
Well, a lot of this had some reason to at least have some hope for some change when we had heard Mr. Obama's proclamation that he inhaled frequently, and that was the point. He'd also written in his books that he had tried marijuana and even cocaine as a youngster, even selling them to some of his friends. So we had hoped that through his experiences, he would realize that indeed, you can try marijuana and still grow up to be president. Unfortunately, his track record has proven to be not as hopeful for any sort of change. The most recent FBI Uniform Crime Report figures show that Mr. Obama is still arresting as many marijuana users this year as the year prior. His budgets for the drug war are still tilted 2-1 in favor of incarceration and interdiction over any sort of rehab or treatment, just like Mr. Bush's budgets were. So when it comes to Mr. Obama, it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
From what I heard, that normal at one point was looking for marijuana to be legalized, you know, purely for recreational use. And then that didn't really work. And then it went to sort of the medical marijuana argument. And believe me, I'm all for all out legalization of marijuana. I'm wondering whether the idea of medicinal marijuana is, I guess maybe you'd say, a Trojan horse. Is it like a backdoor into total legalization? I mean, it reminded me a little bit of sort of like the evolution intelligent design debate, where it's like a slight tweak on it, but that might be a bit more palatable to more people.
Medical marijuana is marijuana legalization, just for a smaller group. And will it lead, is it a backdoor way toward legalization? Well, in a sense, you could say yes, in that it's the crack in the wall of ignorance. Before medical marijuana, we had a situation where everybody believed, or most people believed, that any use of marijuana under any circumstances was deadly, dangerous, a dirty habit, a terrible crime that must be prevented at all cost. Once we have medical marijuana, people start to see, wait a minute, Granny getting her glaucoma medicine, that's not so much of a crime. My friend dealing with his HIV/AIDS or his cancer using a non-toxic therapeutic herb, that doesn't seem to be much of a crime. And I think that naturally leads people who are observing this, at least if they're dispassionate about the issue, to realize all these things we've been told about marijuana being so deadly and dangerous and dirty aren't true. And in that way, I believe medical marijuana does lead toward legalization, because people start to realize, well, heck, if it's okay for sick people, why can't healthy people use it?
And we have actually a question from one of our viewers. His name is Fifth Floor Tom. Hello, Fifth Floor Tom on Twitter. And he asked, has Normal considered forming a coalition with the VFW, Amnesty International, Red Cross, or similar organizations?
Oh, absolutely. We try to engage as many other mainstream organizations in a whole bunch of different policy issues as possible when it comes to the marijuana issue. There's a lot of places where marijuana prohibition affects other people's issues that maybe they don't think about. For example, let's take a look at the National Rifle Association. They support Americans' Second Amendment rights to bear arms. However, people convicted of marijuana growing are drug felons, and they lose their Second Amendment rights. Here in the state of Oregon, we have a couple of sheriffs that are taking a case to the Supreme Court to be able to take away the concealed weapons permits from lawfully registered medical marijuana patients because of the federal prohibition against drug addicts being able to have firearms licenses. But yet, We can't get PETA, we can't get NRA, or any of these organizations that your reader points out to us to help join us in these coalitions because it's marijuana, because it's drugs, and they don't want to promote drug use. We're not here about promoting drug use. We're here about ending these illogical, dangerous, and counterproductive and futile prohibition laws that are incarcerating people like me who meritively choose to use marijuana instead of martinis or Marlboros. You'll see commercials, you know, live the high life, times are better with a bud, the Coors Light commercials with the smiling, happy people at the bars. Look, I played in bars as a musician for 15 years. I can tell you that is not the reality of bars or alcohol drinking by any means. And it's not that we're anti-alcohol or that people shouldn't be able to use alcohol. In fact, we've shown that most people use alcohol responsibly and don't cause a large degree of problems. We just ask for the same respect that beer drinkers get.
What do you think are some of the main ways that the media is failing American citizens in the discussion about marijuana?
Look at the Motion Picture Association of America. You know, they have ratings for films, right? G, PG, PG-13, R, and so on. There was a film that came out recently with Meryl Streep and Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin called It's Complicated. Now, this film was kind of a divorced comedy, you know, adult show, but it didn't have anything that would get it an R rating. There was no nudity. There was no extreme violence. There was some saucy language, but no more saucier than your average PG-13 movie. However, that movie was forced to have to upgrade its rating from a PG-13 to an R because there was a scene where Meryl Streep and Steve Martin smoked a joint together and there were no repercussions for their characters.
Think of how many sitcoms that go on between 8 and 9 where the main setting is a bar. Like How I Met Your Mother, like if they're not in an apartment, they're in the bar all the time. Cheers, whole movie, you know, whole show for years set around a bar, and never going into the consequences of the alcoholism of these people who seem to spend every hour that they're not at work and not sleeping in a bar.
This is one of the little known rules in TV and movies is that as long as your characters suffer some sort of repercussion, you know, they're killed or they go to rehab or they're arrested or something bad happens to them, it's okay to show their marijuana use because you're telling the morality tale that drugs are bad and if you use them, bad things will happen to you. If you don't show bad things happening to the drug users, those shows have to go on after 10 o'clock at night or they have to be on cable or they have to be rated. Well, there you go. That's some of that video. Maybe a couple seconds left on that video, and they edit out some of the parts of it, particularly the parts where Roscoe came downstairs after Coleco came downstairs and started barking his head off. They got rid of that part.
That was funny.
And you were saying about my...
Saucy.
Saucy.
God, we slipped into the John Cleese zone again. Knock, knock.
Yeah, saucy, and it was spot on, I would say.
Ketchup.
Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. We have got to go if you're listening to us on the podcast. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews that you can use for the cannabis community. For those of you listening live, we're going to take it into hour two with Cannabis Cure UK and a little more in-depth look at some of the news stories. We've also got Kyle and Cannabis Carrie still hanging out there in the virtual studio. At least I think they are.
Well, I just want to put a quick word out. If you are in the podcast world, come and join live.normal.org. Come on, we're waiting to meet you.
Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Great little community.
All right, for Cannabis Carry, NorCal Perps, and Cannabis Cure UK, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!